You know, if anybody wants to help support this ministry, those who listen online, those who receive the messages, whether through sermonaudio.com or through Facebook, you can do so by mailing your contributions or through PayPal or Venmo. There's two different sources. You can send your contributions to us, and we certainly appreciate everybody's gifts or offerings and tithes. And it's necessary to be able to keep the building going and to keep yours truly so that I'm not working somewhere else. So I can continue to serve in the ministry. So we praise God for all the gifts and the offerings that have come forth. We're continuing to look at what Jesus taught, what he said, so that we might obey or observe what he taught. The followers of the one that we call Jesus who hear these messages and those who have heard them before as we've gone through this series have heard what he commanded. And this is right and fitting with what he instructed his followers or his disciples to do. Our text today is the same as the one that we've read many times before and most recently the last few weeks. It's written in Matthew chapter 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." These are his marching orders for believers. These are his marching orders. And so I've entitled this message, Observing His Marching Orders. And there's a question in that. What does it mean to observe? What is he saying when he says, teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you? Is he saying, teach them to look at it? To see it? Because when we think of observing something, we say, well, I'm observing the birds flying through the air, or I've observed this, or I've observed that. We think of it in a way of seeing. But it's more than that when we look at it biblically. And so I'm going to break down, do a little teaching today, along with the preaching, to break down what does it really mean to observe? Because in this message, we hear Christ himself telling his followers, this one that we call Jesus, he's telling his followers, we must teach others to observe what he taught. And I want us to examine the root word, the Hebrew root word in the Bible, because it occurs 81 times. This word, this English word, observe, it occurs 81 times in the scriptures, okay? And many relate God's desire for his creation to observe his commands, what he commanded. What did he command? All right? And there's more than one Hebrew word that's translated to the English word observe. But we're just going to look at the ones that are related to observing God's commands. All right? In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 17, it's written, "Ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread." And then it goes on to say, "Therefore ye shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." You never let that up. But the church has stopped observing the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We kind of replaced it with the communion, when we receive communion. The same root word is used in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 11. "Observe what I command you this day." This is what God said. "Observe what I commanded you this day." What did he command? Well, his word is full of his commands. And he says, observe what he commanded. The Hebrew word that's translated observe in these passages is shamar. Shamar. It means to keep and to guard and to give heed, to pay attention to. Okay? Keep watch. It means to ward. In other words, ward other things off. Protect it. Guard it. It means to save. It means to, and the word can also be used to refer to a watchman. Somebody who's guarding and protecting. The watchmen were set on the walls around Israel, and they had to proclaim loudly with a trumpet that there was oncoming danger. They had to let the people know. They were the sirens. They were the warning system. There's danger. You've got to beware. You've got to be careful. Wake up, especially at night. And if a watchman was found asleep at night, they were killed. That's how serious they took being a watchman. And God takes it seriously too. He calls his pastors to be watchmen. He calls his people to be watchmen. Not necessarily men. It can be referring to women also. The Hebrew word also means to retain, to treasure up in your memory. It means to keep within the bounds. In other words, you don't let it go outside of what is contained there. What is there, that's what we stick to. We don't go outside of it. We restrain, we observe, we celebrate, and we keep, as in the Sabbath, or the commandments, or the covenants. And we perform, as in a vow. We marry, we perform the vows. We say the vows, and then we live those vows. That's what it means to observe. You observe by obeying, by keeping, by protecting, by remembering. And in Exodus 31:16, excuse me, Shamar is translated keep. Therefore, it's written, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. God never let go of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the keeping of the Sabbath is something that God commands. And Jesus kept it, and he taught others to keep it. Our Savior said, teach others to observe everything he commanded. These are his marching orders. The Greek word for observe there is tereo. Tereo. It occurs 75 times in the New Testament scriptures. 75 times. It means to guard from loss or injury properly by keeping the eye upon. And how do we keep the eye upon what he commanded except to learn it? We need to guard it from loss. We need to guard it from injury. And so much of what we see as Christianity today has gone south. It's left its moorings. It's left its foundation. It's not guarding the Word of God anymore. It's not guarding the commands of Christ anymore. Oh, some of them, yeah, the ones that feel good. But those ones that don't, no. We say no to Jesus there. And that's an unfortunate reality, folks, and it's why we see what we see in the world today. If the Word of God had been kept, if it had been observed throughout the generations, we would not see the condition that we are in today. Wouldn't happen. Would not. This is why he commands us to observe what he commanded and to teach others to do the same. And so much of the church has gotten away from his commands. We teach the commands of this guy or that guy or some other guy that we revere that came 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago instead of the guy that came 2,000 years ago. Remember, he spoke Aramaic, and that's a form of Hebrew. And so when you take the Greek word and you line it up with the Hebrew word, you see that he's saying to guard, to keep, to protect. To keep it in mind, to remember. And to remember, you've got to learn. And so when he's saying observe, he's saying more than just look at it. He's saying you need to teach. Not only do you need to teach it, but you need to learn it first. Now, they did because they were with him. And then they were to teach others who were then to teach others who were then to teach others. And what's happened is people have picked apart the Word of God throughout the years, and they're starting to teach their own teachings. We all come from different faith backgrounds here. And some of those faith backgrounds have gone so far off the track of Christ that now we're trying to bring everybody back together to be Christ's family. That's part of what we're doing here. And we all have to undo or unlearn some things because we've been misled. There's just no doubt about that. When we go to the Word of God and we look at what Christ commanded and we give the others what he has given to us, then we're doing what he said to do. We're observing his commands. Obeying God's the fruit of faith. He's saying to comply with his commands and teach others to do the same. And you know, he has the authority to demand compliance. He said so. And we'll get to that as we go forward. Obeying him's the same as obeying Almighty God. He said so. Because as we do what he said to do, he was given those same instructions from the Father, who then gave, when he gave them to him, he said, give them to others. And then he gave them to others, and he said, give them to others. And he said, do the same thing over and over and over for generations. And that's happened all the way down till now. We still have the Word of God. We have so many that have twisted and turned it and just made it wrong, misinterpreted it. As I said, obeying God's the fruit of faith. It comes from our gratitude for His grace. It's not expectation for favor, and it's not expectation for justification. We're not trying to justify ourselves by following His Word. I was accused one time of worshiping the Bible because I stick to it. Well, I don't know. I guess that's a bad thing for some people, but I think it's a good thing. Let's see. Jesus said, observe my commands and teach others to do the same. Yep, I guess I got to do that. You can say whatever you want. If you think I'm worshiping the Bible, you can believe that, but I'll tell you what, I worship the God of the Bible, and I will preach His Word until He takes my mouth away or takes my voice away or He takes me off into heaven. I'll proclaim His Word because my words are irrelevant. My words are meaningless. His Word is what matters. And we must all be people of His Word. We must be observing His Word. We must be preaching and teaching and proclaiming His Word, not our thoughts about His Word and not somebody else's thoughts about His Word. And that's where it gets confusing, because we've been taught other people's thoughts about His Word instead of what His Word actually says. We need to get it right. He said if we keep His commandments, we know that we know Him. That's written in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. It was John that wrote it. Blessed are those who do His commandments. It's written in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Blessed are those who do His commandments. Not those who don't do His commandments. Observing is first obeying. It's doing what He said. That's what observing is. And then we hold firm. We hold firm to what He taught. And we guard it and we protect it against those savage wolves that come in and try to destroy it. That's what He said. That's how He puts it. It's holding firm without deviation as you pass along what's written. I'm not going to tell you what I think He means. I'm going to tell you what He said, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what He meant, because most often what He said is what He meant, unless He concealed the meaning in a parable, and then He later told His disciples what the meaning was. The English word observe means to keep or adhere to in practice, to comply with, to obey as to observe the laws of the state or to observe the rules and regulations of a society, to be attentive to those rules. Now, we have all those today who claim we don't have anything to do, we don't have anything to follow, we don't have any rules to go by. But that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says, obey the Word. Live your life according to His Word. Our society with Christ is a supernatural one. And we're observing the rules of that society. It's a different society than the one that we live in on this earth. This earth doesn't have the same rules as what Christ's society has. We're of a different kingdom. We have a different leader. We have a king, and it's Christ. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Savior. He doesn't save without us following what He said to do. He said, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. We need to be born again. We need to be rebirthed. And He does that supernaturally. That's why I say it's a supernatural society, where it's a supernatural kingdom that we belong to. Our society is supernatural. Christ is the supreme in command. He is the commander in chief in this society that we belong to. Now, we interact in two societies. It's as if we are citizens of one nation and we're living in another. And we have to follow the rules of the nation that we come from, the one that we belong to. And we've got to go by the rules of where we're living. rules of where, just say, for example, you get in one country and they drive on the other side of the road. Are you going to drive on the side of the road that you're used to driving on, or are you going to drive on the side of the road that they drive? Well, obviously, you're going to do what they do. So long as it doesn't go against the Word of God, we live by the rules of our society here on earth as we observe the rules of the society that we're coming from in Christ, that we're a part of. His pastors are shepherds. They're under shepherds of Christ. Yours truly is a shepherd. I'm a shepherd of a flock, and the flock fluctuates. It grows and it decreases. It increases and decreases. It increases and decreases. And I'm asking God about that. What's going on here, Lord? Why do we see an increase and then a decrease? An increase and a decrease. We've got a great increase online, but we've had a decrease in the building. Well, what's going on here? It's our society. It's our earthly society. Is it the kingdom society? Is there something wrong? Is there a root of something here that needs to be uprooted? And some people who pray for me and for this church have told me there's a root that needs to be cut off. It needs to come out. It needs to be burned. And I said, well, praise God. He'll reveal it and we'll do it, whatever it is. It doesn't matter to me. It does not matter to me. His pastors are to lead individual groups of believers to learn from Him and obey Him. That's what we're to do. We are to learn from Him and obey Him. Unfortunately, what we have is a religious organization, not here, but in the world, we have a religious organization that's broken down into branches, and each of those branches teach people to follow their branch. And that's off the mark, to say the least. We're to teach people to learn from and obey Him, and that's what following Him means. That's what it means to follow Christ. We observe what He taught. Well, how are we going to observe what He taught if we don't learn what He taught in the context in which He taught it? We're commanded by Christ to command others to attend to His commands, to do, to obey what He taught, His marching orders. He said, go into all the world, teach them, baptize them, and teach them to do what I said to do. This is what these are His marching orders. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 is where it's written, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if we look back, we see that the apostles were also prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. They had all five roles. And this is what some call the fivefold ministry. We'll get into that another time. It's often called the fivefold ministry. Why did He set it up this way? Why did He set it up that there would be this fivefold idea of getting the Word out? Because He wanted to keep His followers from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, as it's written in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. He wants His people to stay true to His Word. And sadly, and I don't like to keep beating on this one, but I got to tell you folks what I see, and it's not just here. I have a friend, my brother Justin Robinson. He's a preacher in Australia, and he has the same frustrations that I have with the church. He has shared them. Brother Justin, if you watch this, I praise God for your ministry, and I ask God to bless you as you go forward in preaching His Word. He wrote to me the other morning. It was night for him. And he said that the church there in Australia has left its moorings. It wasn't his word, that's mine. And he went into some of the things that they're doing. I said, it's the same thing here. It's not just here. It's all over the world. We're seeing the church has left her first love. She's left her foundation. We need to be people who preach God's Word. We need to be people who preach the commandments of Christ. We need to be teaching others to obey, to observe what He commanded. Because that's what He said to do. That's what we need to be doing. We need to get people to attend to what He taught. He said in Titus, it's written, Paul wrote, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And then Paul gives a list of things to teach. And these are the teachings of Christ. They're the teachings of the Scriptures. And then Paul wrapped that up with, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. But the moment you rebuke somebody today, they run out the door. They don't want to hear the rebuke. They want all the exhortation, but they don't want the rebuke. And I said, well, you know what? The Scripture tells me, as a pastor, that I am to speak the things that God's Word teaches, and I am to rebuke those who are out of line with it. That's my job. That's what I'm called to do. And one day I will stand before Almighty God, and He will call me to answer for those souls that have heard my preaching. And I must do it. And I don't think anybody who isn't in this position understands the pressure that is on a true pastor of Almighty God to preach and teach His Word. There are many false shepherds, but I pray to God I'm not one of them. I pray that I stick to His Word. I pray that I preach His Word. I pray that I speak His Word. I pray that I live His Word and that I teach others to do the same. Speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine. These are our marching orders. This is what He taught us to observe. His marching orders for us. And there's many or most of the modern prophets say to everybody who will listen, God loves you just as you are. There's no need to change. You don't need to do anything. Why? God wants you to have your best life now. It's all good. Live as you see fit. Follow your heart. Well, the Bible tells us the heart is deceitfully wicked. I'm not following that. Oh, no. I'm going to follow the Word of God. I'm going to follow the Word of God, and I'm going to teach you all to do the same. And as I say very many times, I've got the envelope. I've got the package. I've got to deliver it to you. It's the Word of God. It's for you. It's for me. It's for all. You can do whatever you want with it, but I have to give it to you. I must deliver His Word to each and every one who sits under my preaching. And there's those false prophets who assure everybody peace in this world. But you know, the Word tells us they're prophesying lies in His name. He hasn't sent them. He hasn't commanded them, and He hasn't spoken to them. It's written in the Scriptures. In the Old Testament Scriptures, He's telling the people, these aren't my prophets. They're not professing my truth. It's not coming from me. It's coming from them. They prophesy a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, and Jesus warns us against them. It's written in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves. They're hungry to devour the souls that Almighty God has bought and paid for. Ravenous. Bloodthirsty. That's what His Word says. Paul warned the elders in Ephesus, for I know this, he said, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. Where do you think Paul got that from? Where do you think he got that from? He got it from Christ Himself. He said, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And he said, now you got to listen to what he says here. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Paul warned the believers in Ephesus, there's going to be people that rise up right from among you, and they're going to try to lead others away. And haven't we seen this all through the time of the church? If we study church history, and I have, what we see is this guy, he led a bunch of people this way, and that guy, he led a bunch of people that way. Oh, and they name their doctrine this, that, or the other, or they name it after the guy. We got a whole bunch of church named after guys. That's not what God wants. He said, these men will rise up from among yourself, speaking perverse things, perverse, twisted, turned, wrong, mistaken, errors, falsehood, ravenous wolves, bloodthirsty, stealing the souls that God bought and paid for, that God liberated from the prison of death by the blood of Christ. It's written in 2 Peter chapter 3. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. You know, these notes started about 3 weeks ago. God had me. He was downloading stuff. I mean, I was working on three messages at the same time. At the same time. He was having me plug Scripture into different messages at the same time. It got confusing for me, and I said, God, just guide me. And then throughout the weeks, I've tuned those messages up. But He gave this message to me 3 weeks ago, and I've worked on it since then. Because it's what He wants everyone who is listening right now, whether here in the building or online or who will listen later online, to receive this message at this time from Him. He said, He doesn't want you to be led away with the error of the wicked. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Error equals wickedness. And when those men and women who have strayed from the truth lead others down that path of falsehood or mistake or error, and it goes on and on and on for 100 or 200 or 500 or 800 or 1,000 years, the mark is here, and they deviated just a tiny little bit. Well, over 1,000 years, they're way off the mark. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not naming names here. But what I'm saying is God shows in His Word they've left the foundation. They're not following what He did. They're not following what He taught. They're not following what He commanded. They're not accepting His marching orders. Instead of going out and teaching what Christ commanded, they're going out and teaching what their leader, who is not Christ, commanded. Error equals wickedness. He wants us to protect and to share His marching orders. This is what He wants. This is what He teaches. This is what He shows us. This is what He reveals to us in His teaching. Consider what's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous. Covetous? Wait a minute, we've got covetous people in the church. They're going to get into heaven. They go to church, right? Nor drunkards. You might change that to the addicted. They don't give it up. Nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Were. Notice the past tense. Were. Such were some of us. See me pointing at me? Such were some of us. But, he said, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were all sinners. We were all lost. We've been saved by the grace of God. We've been given His grace, and we are expected to give it to others, to lead them to follow Him. And sadly, many have been duped into following human teachers. Follow human teachers. Many sidestep the commands of God's Messiah. They're not leading people to follow His commands because His commands are contrary to theirs. And they like their own. They like what their guy said because it feels better or it looks better or it distinguishes them from other groups that call themselves Christian. These people favor twisted doctrine of devils. And many will ask you, which set of demonic instructions do you follow? Oh, no, that's not how they ask it. They say, well, what church do you go to? What church do you belong to? What denomination are you a part of? People say that to me. I'm not. I had a preacher tell me one time, well, you know, these independent churches. He didn't know I've served in an independent church. He said, these independent churches are for the birds. I said, really? I serve in an independent church. We're not a part of a denomination. And nor would we want to be. We want to serve the Lord. So we walk under Him. We follow His commands. We do what He said to do. We observe His word. They ask things like, what church do you go to? And I have to say, believers don't go to church. We don't go to church. I thought about doing a series of messages on going to church. Believers don't go to church. Believers are the church. We are the church. And we need to start referring to ourselves as the church, not going to church. We are the church. We are the body of the living Christ here on earth, drawing other souls out of the darkness and into His light. We're given that by Christ Himself. We are given that by God's Messiah. And we are to lead others into it, into the light, out of the darkness. And when people are walking in darkness, we must have grace and accept they are in darkness. We need to guide them out of it. We can't shun them. We can't throw them away. We need to help guide them into the teachings of Christ so that He is glorified in their lives. What's your statement of faith? What's your statement of belief? I just show them a Bible. Here it is, right here. There's my statement of faith, right there. Now, do we have some guidance? Yes, we do. God's Word gives us guidance on what we are to follow, what we are to believe, what we are to do. And that is our statement of faith. Doesn't hurt to write some things down, though, so we can share them with other people. I've personally heard people favor the teachings of well-known men over the teachings of God's Messiah. They give some teaching that's contrary to His, and I say, well, but Jesus said, oh, no. What He meant was, no. I'm going with what He said. All right? It's His way. But in the way in which they walk against His teaching, they say no to Jesus. And this is true even when the men that they follow said no to Jesus. Murderers who started movements that are still alive today in the Christian faith. They said no. Jesus said murderers don't get in. Okay. Did they repent? I don't know. I haven't read anything of them repenting. You turn away from the words of our Lord and Savior. That's painful for me. When I think about it, when I think about us standing before Him on that great day, I just wonder how many are going to say, but I thought, but I believed. Because He says His word is true. Not the words of this guy, that guy, or the other guy. Or woman, as the case may be in some cases. He taught in the authorship of Almighty God. It's written in the 7th chapter of Matthew that He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, well, let me pause there for a moment. Maybe that's why they don't teach the sayings of Christ. Because those who hear the sayings and do not do them will be like the foolish who built their house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. You know, He said those are going to be standing before Him and say, well, we did this and we did that, and He'll bring out their whole laundry list of all the good things they did for God, and He's going to say, it doesn't make a difference. That doesn't make a hill of beans. I don't know you. You're workers of iniquity. And nobody likes to preach that anymore because there is a chance that our religion is going to take us straight into hell instead of having a relationship with Almighty God. And that's why we need to learn to observe His commands so that we don't have religion. That's a package. It's a box of man-made teachings most often. Man-made teachings are boxed up and they're called this, that, or the other, and they sell you the whole package. Some do it from the time the children are wee little. They raise them up in that package, and they say, this is the way right here. This is the way. But Jesus didn't say that. He said He's the way. Remember, He taught, as I said, in the authorship of Almighty God. Think about that, the authorship. He delivered what the Father had given him to deliver. He didn't deliver less, and he didn't deliver more. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. So when he's saying, teach them to observe everything I commanded you, he's saying, teach them to observe everything that God wants them to observe. And he said, it's written in John chapter 14, he said, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And you could say, you could translate that, he who does not love me does not observe what I taught. And he said, the words which you hear are not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now that's a testimony of two witnesses right there. Everything that we receive from Christ came from the Father. And so we, as we proclaim the words of Christ, we are proclaiming the words of the Father. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's written, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. All the ways? That you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. We're living on the land. And he said, you want to prolong your days? You want to live a long, healthy life? Follow what God says. Do what he says. Don't defile the temple. Don't defile your life with sin. Following anything contrary to the Word of God is sin. So I tell everybody, say no to those things that are contrary to the Word of God. Say no. And learn everything possible that Yeshua taught. Give up the false teaching. Give up the false teachers by learning God's Word. See, when Chris and I, early on in our marriage, at some message I gave somewhere, I was reading the scripture about Jesus' brothers and sisters. And she said, Jesus didn't have any brothers and sisters. I said, yeah, well, the scripture says he did. Oh, but my teacher said he didn't. I said, well, your teacher either lied or was mistaken, or they were taught wrong, because the word says he did. Well, they were only half brothers or half sisters. The scripture says they were brothers and sisters. So maybe they were halves, but they were of the flesh. And I'm not going to get into that big theological debate, but I'll tell you, when we look at the Word of God, we find the truth. When we look into man's teaching, we find a lot of error. Following anything contrary to the Word of God is sin. That's what he says. And we need to counter the false teachers with, it is written in the Word of God. It is written. For example, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Maybe they were half brothers and sisters, but they were nonetheless brothers and sisters. His Word is the authority under which each of us serves our Master. His Word is truth. And every man can be a liar. And so I'm going to wrap this up. I want to remind you to say yes. Say yes to observing His marching orders. He commanded His followers to teach others to observe everything He commanded, and they are to do the same, and that's all of us. We are all in ministry, folks, not just yours truly. I heard a minister one time, it was Richard Samuels, Dick Samuels. He taught on the message on a barn. He said that this building is like a barn. You come in here, you get oiled up, you get lubed up, and then you go back out into the field to work. Each and every one of us are the equipment that God uses to do His work, to sow the seeds of the gospel, to go out into the field, to make the harvest plentiful, and for us to bring in that harvest. Each of us have a duty to Almighty God to do what He said. When you come in here, you're being fed. You're being brought into the fullness of what He means for you to be. And then you go out there and you bring others in. That's what He says anyway. So say yes. We're to teach others to keep and to guard from loss or injury His teachings. We're to keep our eye upon His commands. And so I say to you, say yes. Say yes to His commands. That's the best way for you You want your best life? Follow what he says. That's what he says. He tells us that's the way to have your best life. Follow what he says. We have to carefully attend to and take care of to maintain fidelity to his word, so that we don't go off, that we don't stray, and that others follow us down a wrong path. We're to watch, we're to protect, we're to save from harm. And so say yes to that. I will guard your word, Lord. I will watch your word, Lord. I will learn your word. I will follow your word. I will observe what you have taught. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Now remember, the shepherd, he doesn't get behind the sheep and chase them. He doesn't whip them. He gets in front and he leads them. He leads the sheep to follow. And if the shepherd is following the chief shepherd, then he's right on track. And all the others follow along behind the chief shepherd, with the shepherd or the under-shepherd leading them to follow the shepherd. That's the biblical model. That's how it works. My sheep hear my voice, he said, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. That's written in John chapter 10 and verse 27. So say yes to God's Messiah. No holds barred. Don't hold on to anything that's contrary to him. Just say yes. This is what I'm imploring you to do. As the time grows short, and we know that the time is short, don't hold on to anything. No resistance. Let the Holy Spirit transform you. Let the Holy Spirit change you from who you were to who he wants you to be. Let the Holy Spirit wipe out religion. Let the Holy Spirit build that relationship that Almighty God wants to have with you as you observe the commands of Christ, not what somebody else taught. He said they hear his voice. He said they follow him. So hear what he has to say. And then follow him. Do it. Just do it. Because that's what's best for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you accept us just as we are. But Lord, you love us too much to leave us there. And so you transform us. You reborn us. You bring us into new life. And we are reborn in the likeness of his image. Image of the one that you sent because you so loved the world. You gave us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. And we know that believing means obeying. It means observing. It means keeping and guarding. It's not just a mental assent, just some agreement with our mind. It's loving you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, all of our strength, all of our being, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So God, lead us, guide us, help us to walk in the image of Christ, in his footsteps, that we would walk away from false teaching and false teachers by learning your word, that we would counter the false teachers with it's written in God's word, because your word is the authority under which we serve our master. Help us all to say yes as we guard and keep your word from injury or loss. Help us all to say yes by keeping your commands and keeping our eye upon your commands. Help us all to carefully watch and attend to and take care of and maintain fidelity to your word, I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. All right, I guess we'll offer our, you know what, before we have the offering, why don't we sing number 249, Just As I Am.